Tanya. And like you, I'm looking forward to the Peter Kay Sid Griffin tour of the Eastern USA in March. Check your local listings. For those of you in LA who are Sid's old chums or not, we all want to send you our love and support. We're here in... Oh, I've said too much. Take it away, Mr. Showbiz.
Hi, everybody. You're riffing with Griffin. Thank you, Sonia. Sonia made two really good points. The second, more minor point, I'll do first. Yes, my friend Peter Case and I are going to tour the eastern half of the United States starting March 4th in Nashville, Tennessee, and we end March 22nd in Decatur, Georgia, just east of Atlanta. I hope many of you can come out and see Peter Case and Sid Griffin touring the eastern half of the United States in March. Just put in tour dates Peter Case or tour dates Sid Griffin, and they'll all pop up. Most important thing, the number one thing, this podcast is dedicated to the city of Los Angeles, the city of angels. As everyone knows, the fires that were out of control in Los Angeles are still being struggled with as I record this here. And one of the great tragedies of it is an area greater than the size of Manhattan Island is now destroyed. All the homes, all the businesses, all the schools, whatever, they're gone. And think of all the families that have been displaced in Los Angeles right now. It's just terrible. And there's four fires still continuing as I speak. So this theme is not just for the city of Los Angeles. It's for the people of Los Angeles, a city that took me in 1977 when I first moved out there. And when I left in 1992, I had the best years of my life in Los Angeles. I'll say that a second time. I had the best years of my life in Los Angeles. I love that city. Go Dodgers, go Lakers. And here we are. We're going to start off with the one act that epitomizes Southern California and the city of Los Angeles more than any other. Here is Brian Wilson and the fabulous Beach Boys.
A diamond necklace played the pawn, hand in hand some drummed along, war to a handsome man in baton.
Bygone, bygone.
A blind class aristocracy, back through the opera glass, you see the pit and the pendulum drawn.
Bygone, bygone.
Colin needed wisdom. Canvas the town and brush the backdrop. Are you sleeping? Hung velvet overtaken me, dim chandelier awaken me to a song dissolved in the dawn.
Bygone, bygone.
The music hall, a costly bow, the music all is lost for now to a muted trumpeter's swan.
Bygone, bygone.
Colin needed ruins to canvas the town and brush the backdrop. Are you sleeping, Brother John? Dove-nested towers, the hour was strike the street, quicksilver moon. Carriage across the fog, to step to lamplight cellar tune. The laughs come hard in auld lang syne. The glass was raised to fire and rose the fullness of the wine, the dim last toasting. Why let port ado or die? A choke of grief, heart-hardened I, beyond belief, a broken man too tough to cry. Surf's up, board a tidal wave. Come about hard and join the young and often spring you gave. I heard the word, wonderful thing, a children's song.
fabulous. Acapella. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you heard nothing there but the Beach Boys, Alan Jardine, of course, Bruce Johnson, Mike Love, and the Three Wilson Brothers singing a cappella. Nothing else, no instruments. That Surf's Up, my favorite Beach Boys song. And curiously enough, of all the versions of Surf's Up that are out there by the Beach Boys, I think that a cappella one, minus the backing track, is my favorite. A beautiful piece of work. Brian Wilson, we love you. So let's move on, because there's something interesting about the Beach Boys that many of you may not know that leads it into a nice link to this next thing. The Beach Boys actually, of course, were big R&B fans. If you listen to the first two or three records, two or three albums, they're big R&B fans. Los Angeles had a huge R&B scene. Now, we know the western of country and western it refers to that part of Texas to California, where you had those massive ballrooms and the big cowboy bands playing, like Spade Cooley in L.A. or Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys. Texas Playboys in Texas, right? But the R&B scene in Los Angeles was really second to none. I know it's hard to believe because people think New York, they think Chicago, they think Kansas City, they think New Orleans, but Central Avenue in Los Angeles was happening. You can't anymore, but at one time you could have asked everyone from Duke Ellington to Gatemouth Brown or whoever you wanted to. They all knew that Central Avenue scene, Big Joe Turner, every one of them knew it. It was a hell of a R&B town. And Bruce Johnson of the Beach Boys and Terry Melch used to go and sneak into all these clubs and just love what they heard. And they were trying to get a deal at R&B labels long before Melcher became the producer of the Byrds and Johnson became a Beach Boy. Where does that leave us? That leaves us into this next track with a great Amos Milburn. Now, Amos Milburn is one of the great R&B stylists of the Southern California days, back in the 40s and 50s. And like so many of those cats, they were produced or written or written for or arranged by the great Maxwell Davis. So if you can find Waylon Daddy, the best of Maxwell Davis, 1945 to 1959, you will get the best 3-CD or 4-LP collection of R&B from Southern California you could possibly imagine. If you don't believe me, ask the Blasters, Dave Alvin, and Phil Alvin, because they're the first guys that told me about Maxwell Davis. Anyway, I've yakked enough, so we're going to hear Amos Milburn first doing a potluck boogie, and he's not talking about food. And after that, we'll hear the great Sam Cooke. But it's L.A., baby, L.A. Take it away, Amos. Thank you.
The things that I see as I walk along the street, that's heaven to me. A little flower that blooms in May, a lovely sunset at the end of a day, someone helping a stranger along the way, that's heaven. The feeling I have when I hear a touching prayer makes me know a God is somewhere near. Even the birds flying around in the air, that's heaven. It doesn't have to be a miracle for me to see the goodness of my God is everywhere to me. Oh, even the children playing in the street sing a friendly hello to everyone they meet. Even the leaves growing out on a tree, that's heaven to me.
Nobody could hum like Sam Cooke. Nobody could hum like Sam Cooke. That's heaven to me. Arguably, possibly, my favorite gospel song. There's a great version. Well, Sam actually cut it twice as a soul stirrer. But before he left the Soul Stirrers, he, of course, became friends with Bobby Womack. This is a long R&B story we don't need to get into now. But the Womacks and the Cooks were great friends. And Bobby Womack has a great version of That's Heaven to Me from around 1972, which he dedicates to Sam Cooke in his introduction before he sings it. It's just a wonderful track. Coming out of the R&B scene, I was talking about Amos Milburn and how great Big Joe Turner and all those records were that they were cut in L.A. back in the 40s and 50s. You have to have the flip side. And the flip side is, of course, gospel. So a lot of the African-American talents in Southern California, of course, cut gospel records as well, or maybe played piano on a gospel record while the more secular singers did their thing. And it was an amazing scene. And this is one reason, besides the movies and the television, that L.A. was the entertainment capital of the world. I mean, it really, really was. You had these vibrant local scenes. You know, labels like Aladdin were all based in Los Angeles. And some of them moved to Los Angeles from New Orleans or whatever when the times started getting hard. Specialty, the great R&B label. That's the second R&B label that just pops into my head that's based in Los Angeles. Anyway, moving right along, after Sam Cooke, who died right about the time, was shot, actually, as you know, that Sam Cooke was shot. That's how he left this planet. Sam Cooke was shot right about the time that this other band got started, got going. And what's interesting to me is, other than the Beach Boys, they are the band that holds the torch for Southern California to blaze brightly as a musical entity, as a musical group, as a musical act. And like the Beach Boys, they had their fractious moments. But like the Beach Boys, they had their moments of great harmony. Here, ladies and gentlemen, are the Byrds, followed by their dear friends, Arthur Lee and Love.
and staircases every day to climb. To go up to my white ballroom out on the end of time, where I can be with my love, for she is all that is mine. And she'll always be there, my love, don't care about time. I laugh with her, cry with her, hold her close, she is mine. The way she tells me of her love, and never is she trying. She don't have to be assured of many good things you'll find. And she'll always be there, my love, don't care about time. Eyes are dark and deep with love, her hair hangs long and fine. She walks with ease and all she sees is never wrong or right. And with her arms around me tight, I see her all in my mind. And she'll always be there, my love, don't care about time. She'll always be there, my love, don't care about time.
Down.
audibly no secret that at this point in time, Arthur Lee was the last man standing in love. The original lineup, every single guy was gone. It's sort of like Eric Burdon and the Animals or Roger McGuinn and the Byrds. He was the last guy in the band. So they kind of had a heavy Hendrix influence. And of course, Arthur was dear friends with Jimi Hendrix. And Arthur Lee and Jimi Hendrix finally ended up recording shortly after that album came out. That's August, the first track from the Love album For Sale, the first album with Arthur Lee's new lineup of Love. What a magnificent track that is. Before we heard She Don't Care About Time, which is the B-side of Turn, Turn, Turn for the Byrds. I do believe the Byrds represent Los Angeles to this day, almost as well as the Beach Boys. Not quite, but almost as well. Elvis Costello once said in an interview, he thought the one reason the Byrds' music has stood the test of time so well is they always sounded like a very modern band. And it's true. If you play tracks of the Byrds to young people, it sounds like a modern band. Maybe the production's not quite there, but it sounds like a modern band. There's nothing really old-timey or old-fashioned about them. They were a one-off. What we heard, She Don't Care About Time, was actually not the version cut, the version released on the flip side of Turn, Turn, Turn. It was a Gene Clark original, one of the outtakes of that session. Bird Maniacs and Beatle Maniacs both know that at the session where She Don't Care About Time was cut, both Lennon and McCartney were there. George Harrison was there. I think Ringo was missing. And Joan Baez was there for a while. And the harmonica solo was tried by various Byrds at various times. And I can't remember if I think Michael Clark, not Gene Clark, I think Michael Clark's playing the harmonica solo on there, as Roger McGuinn quotes Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring by Bach on the solo. Anyway, I'm a big fan of this kind of Southern California sound, as everyone who knows me knows. And one of the things I like about it is there's a sort of a country rock pop Southern California sound that the Byrds pioneered that flips over to the Buffalo Springfield, that flipped over to Love a little bit, that flipped over to the Association a lot, and that flipped over to, of all people, the Mike Nesmith-dominated Monkees tracks. Anyway, what do I mean by that? Listen to this track by the Buffalo Springfield. It's called No Sun Today, and then listen to what we play by the Association afterwards.
11.
Sun.
There'll be no sun
today.
No sun today.
There is a time,
there is a place,
when all moves go to dust, and we shall
have to wait
till our time comes at last.
Until then, I'm sure our love will endure the
me that doesn't sound like the Buffalo Springfield to a certain extent. What are we doing? We're talking about the city of Los Angeles. Yes, there have been raging fires there, and the city is not down on its knees. It will rise up again if Trump will just give them the money to regrow everything again. Give them the money, Trump. Don't have any strings attached. What's wrong with you, Donald? Jesus H. Anyway, after the birds and love, I think it's important to say that this is a huge scene in Southern California. So you've got the Springfield and the Association. Buffalo Springfield, we heard an unreleased track called No Sun Today. When the Buffalo Springfield box set came out almost 20 years ago now, I was just so stoked. I was waiting for it. And I was thinking, how can you have a four CD set by the Buffalo Springfield when you have three albums out? Yes, three albums. Each one lasts about 30 minutes. And of course, Neil Young had all the tapes, access to all the tapes, because he owns the three of the five votes in the Buffalo Springfield. So Neil Young had all the tapes. He had all the demos, acoustic demos. Disappointingly enough, there wasn't any live stuff on it. But the stuff, the unreleased stuff like Kahuna Sunset, Falcon Lake, genius songs. And we just heard No Sun Today by the Springfield, which to me sounds like what we heard after it. From 1966, You Hear Me Call Your Name by the Association. It's off their album Renaissance, as I recall. Yeah, it's off Renaissance. And the Association's first four albums, Cherish and Along Comes the Association by the Association, then Renaissance, then Windy, and then one, it's called Inside Out, I'm sorry, then Birthday. Those four albums by the Association are all very Buffalo Springfield kind of sounding records. And what's the difference between No Sun Today by the Springfield from, I think, early 67 or mid-67 and late 1966's You Hear Me Call Your Name by the Association? What's the difference? I mean, there's a real sound that goes through Springfield, Association, Love, Birds, and so many others. Frank Zappa says sort of bitterly in some of his interviews about the early Mothers of Invention, he says the 60s scene in L.A. was very Birds-oriented, and I'll say it was, and what a sound it was. Anyway, let's move right along. Move. As we walk down the street, charmingly enough, we're checking out the sunny skies of Southern California, and I mentioned Bobby Womack earlier in this podcast when I was talking about Sam Cooke. Well, Bobby Womack wrote and recorded a great song called If You Don't Want My Love, Baby, Give It Back. Ronnie Woods recorded it. Gabor Szabo, the great guitar players, recorded it. Bobby Womack's recorded it twice. Here is the great man, the great Bobby Womack, doing If You Don't Want My Love. And when he's finished singing it, I want to say something about the next slate of bands. But Bobby, take it away.
Well, hey baby,
if you don't want my love,
if you don't need my love,
baby, give it back.
Oh, I'd like to have it back.
If you don't need.
Oh,
baby,
I've been needing some money, hard can use it.
something that you feel, feel you need.
That was me on harmonica. I couldn't resist. Bobby Womack. He was in the Valentinos, who did the original It's All Over Now that both the Rolling Stones and Rod Stewart recorded. The Valentinos went kind of cold. Bobby Womack went solo. He did some great songs like I'm a Midnight Mover, but really what Bobby Womack did best, he was a session man in the mid-60s and late-60s after the Valentinos broke up. And he was very good at it. Jerry Wexler used him a lot, and he played on records by Aretha Franklin and all that kind of crowd. And then sometime in the early 70s, he got hot again and started doing hits like, he did a marvelous version of Sweet Caroline, da-da-da-da. Go figure that evergreen song. He did Harry Hippie, and he did that wonderful If You Don't Want My Love, Give It Back. And as I said earlier, speaking of Bobby Womack representing more modern L.A., Southern California R&B, Bobby Womack, of course, recorded a brilliant version of That's Heaven to Me in the early 70s. And then again, things got cold, and in the early 80s, he got hot again. Check out his albums, The Poet and The Poet 2. Fabulous albums from Bobby Womack, a major league great talent. Now, we can move it along quickly because L.A. is a big roaring city and there's so much to cover musically. Moving along, I'm going to do two songs now in a row by, friends of mine, people I knew and adored and still loved. It was a scene that I was involved in. I got to L.A. in October 1977. I didn't know anybody. I knew one cousin who lived in the Flint Ridge, La Cañada area, which has suffered from some of the fires, La Crescenta area. And other than that cousin from Kentucky, I didn't know anybody in Los Angeles. I mean, I knew no one. And I was really worried. I think I got to L.A. It was something like October 7th or October 10th that I got to L.A. And I'm writing a book on this time period. I'm trying to get that together in a book form. I'm winding that up. But by Christmas, I had friends. I don't mean sort of casual friends or, you know, whatever. I mean solid, rock solid friends by Christmas. It took me from maybe October 10th to mid-November to make some really good friends in L.A. And it just I loved my time there so very much. Anyway, this first song is sort of the a band that's kind of the flagship band or the most representative of L.A. band of my generation. And it is, of course, X. And after them, we're going to play a song by a band of people that I didn't know well, but I knew, and it's about Los Angeles. So if you can dig this, X are going to sing a song called Los Angeles, which trivia fans would like to know. My pre-Long Riders band, The Unclaimed, used to do in rehearsal, but we never did it live. Anyway, the band X is going to do their signature song, Los Angeles, and after that, friends of theirs and friends of mine are going to do a song about Los Angeles, and I won't tell you what it is, but I'll tell you in a few minutes. Stick around.
Gave a lot of shit. Every homosexual in the idle rich.
Idle rich, yes, yeah.
Thing wrong with the Go-Go's is their third album's called Talk Show, and I really like that album. They always badmouth it in interviews, saying we're out of steam there and it's not a very good album. Ladies, quit badmouthing your third album, Talk Show. I like it a lot, and I dig the song Mercenary, so quit badmouthing the album. Anyway, they were very vibrant, hilarious, warm, fun, brilliant songwriting, young ladies. And I saw the Go-Go's the first few times I saw the Go-Go's, and they know this. If you look at their documentary, they were courageous enough to put in early black and white footage when they weren't very good live. They weren't very good, period. And I saw them struggle at places like The Mask and other small gigs. And in February 1980, I took the train. Yes, the train, the coastal train up from LA, from Union Station to whatever the station is in the middle of San Francisco. And went to Mabuhay Gardens and saw the Go-Go's play, and they were a different band. February 1980, they were a different band. They were so tight. The singing was good. Charlotte Caffey played some wonderful lead lines. They had Kathy Valentine on bass. Gina Schock had come in on drums, and it was just a different band. They were rock solid. And just a lot of fun. And they were so good that I went and saw them, I think, April at the Whiskey Go-Go. And they were as good or better. And from there on, they recorded their first album, Beauty and the Beast. It went to number one in the United States of America. Well done, ladies. And I love that song, This Town. I bet you wish you live here if you could and be one of us. And I sometimes do wish I still lived in L.A. But I was one of those people living in L.A. But it's kind of a chapter of my life I don't need to repeat. But anyway, X, Los Angeles. Is there anything more defining than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Los Angeles? Man, X-Zine and John Doe's harmonic non-harmonies is a signature sound. Billy Zoom not playing anything but sort of bar chords and very few riffs. It's as much of a sound as the Ramones sound. The great DJ Bonebreak, who's played on Long Riders records, is on the drums, and they were the band that represented the scene more than anyone, more than the Go-Go's even, more than, captured the zeitgeist of the scene, that's what I meant, and more than the Lobos or the Blasters or any of the guys and gals that I love, Bangles, more than anyone, X captured it. Go-Go's took it to the bank, and what else was going on in LA at that time? I was talking about the country and western scene that they had with the Spade Cooley and all those bands, and I was talking about Central Avenue and the R&B scene in LA. Do we have a punk scene? Brother, did we have a punk scene? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to hear Fear and then a band that's got a dear friend of mine in it. Both punk bands from L.A. This is Fear doing I Love Living in the City.
I love living in the city. I love Seven in the city.
And Greg Henson, what a dynamic duo they are. Right. We started right there with Fear. I Love Living in the City. I doubt leader Lee Ving had a real name of Lee, V-I-N-G. I doubt bassist Durf Scratch had a name of Durf Scratch, but whatever. They were a wonderful band. I Love Living in the City by Fear from the first album, Fear. And they also had a song called New York's All Right. New York's All Right if you like saxophones. And that was the name of it. And they had the same album. The second line was something like, New York's All Right if you like art and jazz. Oh, God, what a wonderful band Fear was. A lot of the L.A. scene had a smile on its face. It's very hard to tell Europeans this, that certain things had a smile on its face. I saw the New York Dolls four times. And they were not only a lot of fun, they had a sense of humor. In Europe, they're just Johnny Thunder and smack and seriousness. No, they had a sense of humor. Fear had a great sense of humor. Wonderful punk band. Really enjoyed seeing their shows all the time. So much. Circle Jerks. Keith Morris was born the same day, same year as Sid Griffin, as was Keith Strang of the Fleshtones. So every September 18th, we get together and have a chin wag, a Zoom call, whatever you want to do. Love those guys to death. That Circle Jerks, Irony of Irony, their song that we heard is called Beverly Hills, which I don't think any of them are near from. Oh, by the way, Keith Morris has an autobiography whose name escapes me, but it's really good. Keith Morris of the Circle Jerks autobiography. Can't remember the name off the top of my head. It just popped into my head, that factoid. Check it out. It's a really good read. I enjoyed it. Anyway, Beverly Hills by the Circle Jerks is off their first album, Group Sex. When I was at Gem Records, J-E-M Records, in 81, 82, 83... I sold wholesale records to record chains and hipper record stores in the Rocky Mountain area, and eventually then the West Coast. I got bumped up. And one of the albums I sold was Group Sex. I believe Group Sex by the Circle Jerks, their first album, was on Frontier Records. And here's a little piece of trivia for you punk rock fans out there. The Circle Jerks told me that they ran out of money recording the Group Sex album. The one I, about 8 months later, was selling at Gem Records, right? They ran out of money, so the guy said, well, you're going to have to do the vocals and mix it. So Keith Morris said, okay, take the tape, put white leader tape connecting all the different songs together, and roll it. And I'm going to sing the lead vocals for the entire album all at once. So in other words, if the album's 30 minutes long, he sang for 30 minutes. If the album's 40 minutes long, he sang for 40 minutes. And they just wrote down a few mistakes that he made, and they went back and corrected them. So in other words, the lead vocals for the album, Group Sex by the Circle Jerks, were done in like an hour and change. I kid you not, sports fans. I kid you not. Anyway, the punk scene in LA, man, is that a sign of my youth? But I wasn't angry. I didn't want to really be a punk. So let's move on to one of my old bands. Love the guys. This is a LA song by Tom Petty, the great Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. They were kind of a successful version of the Long Riders. Anyway, Tom wrote a wonderful song called, I'm calling him by his first name, and yes, I did meet him, got to know him a little bit. He came to see the Long Riders twice, bless his heart. Tom Petty wrote a wonderful song called Walls, and on the Psychedelic Country Soul album by the Long Riders about 5 years ago, we wanted to do a Tom Petty tribute, so we did our version of Walls. I'm going to play the single version of it, the single edit by the Long Riders, not the LP version off of our album Psychedelic Country Soul. And the only thing wrong with it is I didn't realize that Amy Rigby and two or three other bands would also do versions of Walls in tribute to Tom Petty. If I'd have known all five bands, I think it was, picked Walls as their tribute to Tom Petty song, I had the guys pick something else. But anyway, here are the Long Riders, followed by our dear friends, the Bangles. And we're going to do Walls, and the Bangles are going to do a remake of a 60s hit. Listen up. The Wall. Hey, wait a minute. I start this song, don't I? 12 string. Cue the 12 string. Go.
Some days are diamonds, some days are rocks, some doors are open, some roads are locked, sundowns are golden, then fade away. But if I never do nothing, I'll get you back someday. Cause you've got a heart so big that it can crush this town. I can't hold out forever, even walls fall down. All around your island, there's a barricade. Keeps out the danger, holds in the pain. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you cry. Half of me is ocean, and half of me is sky. But you've got a heart so big that it could crush this town. And I can't hold out forever, even walls fall down. Walls fall down.
this town.
And I can't hold out forever, even walls fall down.
Look out for Eternal Flame, March 18th. There's a plug for you. Okay, the Long Riders did Walls is our tribute to the great Tom Petty when he passed away. We loved him to pieces. That's all I can say. We loved him to pieces. We met him during the Two Fisted Tales sessions when he was next door with the Heartbreakers at A&M Records. And their studio, they were recording Let Me Up, I've Had Enough. I don't know, they're just great guys. Ben Montench, one of the greatest guys you could possibly meet. Lovely guy. Now, the Bangles were... a success, like Tom Petty, the Bangles were a successful version of the Long Riders. Anyway, the Bangles were so, they had fairy dust sprinkled on them. That's the best way I can say it. Like when I saw Dwight Yoakam the first time, and he was a nobody. He was Dwight Nobody. He wasn't a famous guy. Dwight had fairy dust sprinkled on him. The Bangles had fairy dust sprinkled on them. Now, rather than play one of their big tracks or one of their album cuts that I love, like Dover Beach, arguably my favorite Bangles song, who knows? I thought I'd play something a little offbeat. That was Where Were You When I Needed You? Because we're talking about Los Angeles, right? Where Were You When I Needed You is a Steve Barry, P.F. Sloan song that was written to encapsulate and capture the bird sound of late 66, early 67. The song was taken to McGuinn and Crosby, and they said, look, this is a song that you guys could do. It's in a bird style anyway. And the birds turned it down. They turned down Eve of Destruction, whether or not that's right or wrong. They did. And it's interesting. So when you hear this hit single by the Grassroots of Where Were You When I Needed You, the guy's imitating McGuinn, clearly vocally imitating McGuinn, and the guitar is very Byrdsian. The guy singing, don't bother crying, don't bother crawling. I mean, come on, I'm exaggerating, but it's very Byrdsian. So the Bangles picked up on that and did a fine version of that song, originally a hit by the Grassroots in 1967, and I was digging it back in Kentucky in 1967. So much so that I remembered how weird a name Creed Bratton was. CreedBratton. Never forgot the name Creed Bratton. So one night, I'm watching the American version of The Office, right? The American version of The Office, not the Ricky Gervais one, the American one, right? And by God, as the credits rolled, it said Creed Bratton. And Creed Bratton of the Grassroots later went on to be in The Office, in the American version of The Office. Go figure that for a career change. Anyway, the Long Riders, the Bangles, Can Your Heart Stand It? I've got to sort of calm my heart down. That is some exciting stuff. Some really L.A. stuff. When you're talking about Tom Petty, the Grassroots, the Long Riders, the Bangles, that is the City of Angels in a nutshell for me. But I've left something out. We have a whole East Side sound that's beautiful. I've talked about R&B. I've talked about country and western. I've talked about punk. I've talked about so many L.A. scenes. What about the East Side, where it's predominantly Hispanic and you have a lot of native Spanish speakers where English is a second language? Possibly my favorite song, period, by any L.A. Hispanic group. I hate saying it like that, because why would you say my favorite song by a white group? You know what I mean? Anyway, my favorite song by a group of guys or gals that are of the Latino, Latina persuasion, my favorite song is Sabor a Mi. And it was originally by Los Panchos. They were formed in 1944. Talk about a long time ago. And it's got that lovely requinto guitar, the high-pitched, high-strung guitar, that requinto guitar at the beginning. I love it. And the song was, I think it's a Luis Gomez song. It's written by Alvaro Carrillo. I've written it down. It's written by Alvaro Carrillo, if I pronounced it right. It's been cut by the great Luis Gomez, which is why I screwed up and thought that. It's been cut by El Chicano, you know, Santana's brother's band, El Chicano. Of all people, Edie Gourmet's had a whack at it. Well, good for you, Edie. Anyway, Sabor a Mi, and this is none of those, actually. It's our dear friends from our generation, it's Los Lobos. But it is a brilliant version of this song, and it's from that Spanish album that Los Lobos did, Mi Corazón, La Pistola y Mi Corazón. I think that's what it's called. Anyway, Los Lobos doing Sabor a Mi.
Tanto tiempo disfrutamos de este amor, nuestras almas se acercaron, tanto así que yo guardo tu sabor, como tú llevas también sabor a mí. Si negaras mi presencia en tu vivir, bastaría con abrazarte y conversar, tanta vida yo te di, que por fuerzas llevarás sabor a mí. No pretendo ser tu dueño, no soy nada, yo no tengo vanidad en mi vida. Todo lo bueno, soy tan pobre. Otra cosa cosa puedo dar. Pasarán más de 1000 años, muchos más, yo no sé si tengamos la eternidad, pero allá tal como aquí, y en la boca llevarás sabor a mí.
Los Lobos have two Spanish language LPs. Check out both those albums. They are the greatest. I am a massive Los Lobos fan. As big as they are, they should be bigger. I don't quite get why they're not even more humongous. They are so talented. The Long Riders had the pleasure of playing Stagecoach, a festival in Southern California about 4 years ago on the big stage. And we went on just before Los Lobos, who I think were the second headlining act that night. I think there was someone on after them, and we went on right after dinner. Then Los Lobos came on around 8:30 or something, and there was a headliner at like 10. And they blew me away just a few years ago. What a fantastic band. Los Lobos doing Sabor a Mi. Right, let's move along. This is a song I wrote, says he loftily, about the city of Los Angeles. I want to tell a story for it. Here it goes. I was telling somebody in Europe, I was telling somebody in the United States before I'd even moved to Europe how much I loved the City of Angels, loved Los Angeles. And he said, and I quote, brace yourselves, ladies, it's a town of whores. And I thought, you know, I've heard a lot of insults, but that's just, you know, this, come on, you can't generalize like that. It's like several of my friends have said, everybody thinks they're going to be famous. Who are you, I say, to step on anybody else's dream? Didn't you dream of maybe playing professional baseball as a child? Didn't you perhaps dream of being a famous actor when you were a young person? Who are you to step in a dream? So I love Los Angeles, the unlimited possibilities of living out there. It was a breath of fresh air after the restrictions of Kentucky. I guess I'm not so much Old South as I am New West, but I'm proud to say that. Anyway, so I wrote a song called The Light That Shines Within. It appeared on the first Cole Porter's release, C-O-A-L, first Cole Porter's release. We're still an electric rock group. We weren't a bluegrass band as we've morphed into years and years later. So I wrote this song, The Light That Shines Within. It came out on the first record. People really liked it, but so what? Times change. Over the last like 4 years, I've had more and more people tell me at my gigs, do you ever sing The Light That Shines Within? And I say, no. And I started singing it, and I'm going to sing it on the March tour with Peter Case in the United States because it's about the city of Los Angeles. People think it's about positivity, which it is in a way, and people think it's about love, which it is in a way. And I had two couples tell me on my last tours in October and November that they had it played at their wedding. And I was really touched by that. So here is, by the Cole Porters, my old band, The Light That Shines Within. It's about love, but love of a city. It's about positivity, but about the positiveness, if that's a word, that the city of Los Angeles gives out like a light. So to the city of angels, a song of romance to a city. If you can fall in love with trees and concrete, I did. Here it is, LA, The Light That Shines Within.
Accepted all the same. Who knows what you're thinking as you're holding all your pain. Hungry, yes, you fed me. When I was thirsty, gave me wine. Naked and you clothed me. Took the beneath your surface, the light that shines within. What goes underneath your surface, the light that shines within. The light that shines within. The light that shines within.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. The late Chris Buesum on guitar. Chris, we love you. And now that I think about it, that's the late Billy Block on drums. Ian Thompson on bass. He's now up in Newcastle upon Tyne with Lindisfarne. And I believe the keyboards are played by Andy Culkin, who's now, and has been for like 25 years, the president of Anti Records, the wonderful Los Angeles label. Anyway, that's The Light That Shines Within by my old band, The Cold Porters. I've got one more song to go. I thought if we began with the Beach Boys, since they represent LA so very well, let's end with the Beach Boys. This is an extremely appropriate and at one time extremely rare Beach Boys track. It didn't appear on LP till an Australian box set in 1982 came out. It's now been reissued, I think, at least once on a Beach Boys anthology here in the United States, and maybe twice. Ladies and gentlemen, the stereo mix, also a cappella. This is just the Wilson brothers and Mike Love and Alan Jardine. I guess Bruce Johnson's on this one. I think he's on this. It might be before he joined the band. But this is the Beach Boys a cappella, and I dedicate this to LA. Here is Brian Wilson and his wonderful band singing, but not playing, singing the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be.
From the Inland Empire, west, all the way to Santa Monica and Venice beaches. From Costa Mesa, all the way north to our friends in Santa Clarita, who are right now fighting a fire just to the west of them. I send this out to the City of Angels, the City of Los Angeles. My name is Sid Griffin. You've been riffing with Griffin on a show dedicated to the wonderfulness and the strength and the beauty of the City of Angels, the City of Los Angeles, California, my home for 15 very, very happy years. L.A. will rise from the ashes again. You mark my words. Trump, loosen the purse strings, dude. Send them the financial help they need. Oh, I should tell you, World Kitchen Cafe, a wonderful charity, the American Red Cross, a wonderful charity, are doing excellent, excellent jobs. But I'm sure you can find innumerable charities doing great work in LA as we get the City of Angels back on its feet. My name's Sid Griffin. You've been riffing with Griffin. I hope to see you in March with Peter Case when we hit the eastern part of the United States. I hope to see you in LA sometime when the sun is shining and Pacific Palisades is rising phoenix-like from the ashes. I've got to go. You've been riffing with Griffin. Thanks for being so supportive of my solo album, The Journey from Grape to Raisin. I really appreciate that, folks. I should have thrown that in somewhere along the line. But it's an LA show, and I shouldn't turn the spotlight on myself too much. God bless each and every one of you. And if you're a Los Angelino, God bless each and every one of you dudes twice. All the best. Sid Griffin saying bye-bye.